Let's start with an elevator pitch for people who aren't familiar with your company and what you do for the government customers that you have.
Well, thank you for that. Carpathia Government Solutions is a provider of hosted solutions, cloud, and IT services, managed services to the federal government as well as enterprises. And really what we do is provide complex, compliant, managed solutions, what we call infrastructure as a service.
So the blank as a service and the cloud space are some pretty good businesses to be in right now. There are a lot of people asking a lot of questions, I imagine. What are they coming to you and saying, tell us about?
I think one, if you look at cloud, for example, one of the biggest questions that comes out immediately is, what is it really? There's a lot of different flavors of cloud. There's private cloud, there's public, there's hybrid, there's community. If just as a general public or a general person out on the street, if you look at what cloud is and listen to Microsoft, that might be different than what cloud is to a federal agency. Mm-hmm. So what we really try to do is define what cloud is in those four specific areas and provide the services that allow the agencies or the integrators to deploy applications that support their mission.
Mm-hmm. Are the agencies getting a better handle on those definitions, or are some of the agencies still at the beginning stages where they're trying to figure out just what they all mean?
That's a great question. I think it's a mixed bag.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go across all agencies, I do believe that they get it. I do believe that cloud is not a fad. I believe that they being all the agencies, at least what Carpathia hears from the CIOs or from the system integrators is they're all adopting cloud in some form.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a matter of how quickly they're adopting it, how they're going to integrate it into existing systems, how they're going to deploy new applications and services like social media or large data set files or data mining type solutions, et cetera. However you want to use cloud, there's a multitude of ways to embed that into current as well as future applications and services.
I had a conversation with my colleague Jason Miller just today. We were talking about the IT as a service concept and what it will look like potentially for 2012. And we have the success story at GSA with the email transition there and some other agencies taking some of the first steps and actually deploying cloud solutions and services. And we kind of were debating back and forth whether 2012 would be kind of the transition or transformation year for cloud services in government or not. And my thought was that we might see agencies doing some of the simple things like email, and not that it's simple, but the easier things on the scale. But maybe not as much of the mission critical stuff quite yet. And Jason's thought was that there are a couple agencies already looking at mission-critical type systems to move to the cloud. What do you think is kind of the broad outlook for the actual deployment in 2012?
I think that Carpathia in general, what we see out in the market, if you look at government, government follows enterprise. So you're seeing a much more rapid deployment of new services and applications in the enterprise, and they're seeing ROIs that are accelerating. They're seeing benefits that come from that. In government, there's different missions, where in enterprise, for example, they have the ability to deploy cloud, and that might drive new markets. It might deploy new innovative applications, et cetera. On the government side, it's more about security, compliance, around FISMA, DICAP, and OMB mandates, for example,
mm-hmm.
or PII and HIPAA from the commercial side tied into government agencies like HHS and VA. They are all adopting cloud, but government is adopting it more slowly, and they're following enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
The fact of the matter is, yes, we are seeing government agencies deploy cloud. But what you generally see in the agency different than you see in enterprises, they're deploying the private clouds and the community clouds rather than going directly to the public cloud. You see government agencies using the public cloud more for the lower end, as you said, or the simpler things, let's say development work, not necessarily your mission critical applications or environments that potentially might have life-threatening consequences if they were hacked or if they were down or not available or whatever it might be.
Is that a transition phase, do you think, where agencies will feel more comfortable in public clouds at some point in the future? Or is the community or hybrid cloud sufficient to meet the needs of agencies for the foreseeable future, do you think?
That's a great question, too, Francis. I believe that they are going to be forced just by the nature of what public cloud is to use it. And ultimately, over time, as long as we can figure out how to securely deploy it, keep it robust and secure, keep the data integrity intact, they will learn how to use it more effectively.
What's going to force that? Just cost considerations?
Oh, no. I think not only cost. I think the innovation, the ability to deploy quickly. The natural procurement cycles in government might be upwards of 9 to 18 months, sometimes 2 years. If you talk to Steve Van Roekel, for example, his idea is that we can start deploying some of these things that take 1 and 2 years to deploy. We can deploy them in 90 days and put those environments on, say, a public cloud. And it doesn't take away from the need for private and community cloud. It's just another flavor of cloud that we can utilize and leverage to be innovative or creative or go to market more quickly. And then also the financials. It does drive costs down initially, and ironically so. What they might start in public cloud, they'll move to a community and private cloud where you'll see even more cost savings.
You mentioned there are different considerations for your enterprise customers compared to your government customers. What difference do those differences make in the way that you sell to the government as opposed to an enterprise customer and then the way you service that customer?
Oh, that's really – how do I answer that? From an enterprise perspective, if you're looking especially at the larger firms, publicly traded firms, there's been a wave over the past 10 years of compliance around PCI or personal identifiable information, HIPAA in the healthcare vertical, Sarbanes-Oxley and GLB in the financial services. So let's take those sectors and look at what they do. The compliance factor is there just like it is in government. It just comes in a different form. When they buy cloud or they buy IT services, managed services, they're looking to drive revenue, cut costs, or improve efficiencies. They aren't necessarily looking to save lives or provide a public good. They're looking to provide a private good for the good of the company and the shareholders in general, or the public user or buyer of their services. When you talk with the government, you're thinking about what I consider more critical issues, security, protection, defense, look at things like terrorist activities, war, war fighters, et cetera. So it's just a higher level of security that you have to, and compliance that you have to be paying attention to.
One of the biggest areas of compliance that you'll be looking at, I imagine, over the coming year will be FedRAMP, and we'll talk about that a little bit when we come back from the break. My guest is Michael Fox. He's director of Carpathia Government Solutions, and he's here for Industry Chatter today on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We'll be right back.
The Pentagon and Beyond is brought to you by EADS North America.
Private Danny Chen apparently took his own life in October in Afghanistan. Now eight fellow soldiers are facing charges. They remain in Afghanistan but have been removed from duty positions and sent to a different base. They're under increased supervision. They're facing charges ranging from dereliction of duty, assault, negligent homicide, and involuntary manslaughter. The 19-year-old Chen was assigned to the 1st Striker Brigade combat team based in Fort Wainwright, Alaska. I'm J.J. Green.
911, what's your emergency?
Every day, EADS North America supports homeland security and defense missions here at home and around the globe. Whether it's responding to emergencies or disasters, providing military helicopters or systems that patrol and secure our borders and coastlines, EADS North America delivers on our promises every day. EADS North America. Commitment defines us.
I'm Danny Tomlin, president of Associated Distributors, a distributor of wine and spirits and a member of the Charmer Sunbelt Group.
And I'm Governor Bob McDonnell. As we celebrate the holiday season with family and friends, please ensure everyone gets home safely by following these tips. If you host a party, provide plenty of non-alcoholic beverages for your guests and ensure no one under 21 drinks alcohol.
Plan ahead by designating a driver or arrange for alternative transportation. If you are 21 or older and choose to drink alcohol, please drink responsibly.
Have a joyous and safe holiday.
There are those who dedicate themselves to a sense of honor, to a life of courage, and a commitment to something greater than themselves. They have always defended this nation and each other. They still do. The few, the proud, the Marines.
To win and deliver government contracts successfully, you need to align with the right teaming partners. Meet Tech Systems. While often behind the scenes, Tech Systems has worked with government agencies and systems integrators for over 25 years. In fact, every year, they deploy over 70,000 IT professionals at over 5,500 client sites nationwide, including more than 65 government agencies. Tech Systems is active across a broad spectrum of government programs and has developed deep relationships to understand what works well and who does it best. Thinking about cybersecurity, working on a cloud computing initiative. Tech Systems addresses critical program gaps related to people, projects, and work functions. Their delivery models scale from staff augmentation to IT project and outsourcing services to support transition, ramp-up, surge, and ongoing program support needs. Learn more at TechSystems.com. TEKSystems.com.
Wake up and drive in with Tom Tamman and Amy Morris on the Federal Drive. It's your early line on the day ahead from your trusted advisors. Tom and Amy give you a full view of the issues. Find out what your colleagues in other agencies are up to and what policy and congressional developments mean to you. The Federal Drive with Tom Tamman and Amy Morris. Weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Michael Fox of Carpathia Government Solutions, my guest on Industry Chatter today. And we talked about cloud and some of the ways that you meet customers' needs in the cloud space in the federal government, Michael. One of the big issues that will be on your radar screen, I imagine, in the coming year is FedRAMP. Steve Van Roekel releasing some details about FedRAMP, and Dave McClure and Kathy Conrad talking about it with Jason Miller. You can listen to that conversation on federalnewsradio.com right now. What do you see when you look over the details of FedRAMP? You get a thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs to the side? What do you think?
Selfishly, thumbs up. You know, we've been watching FedRAMP for quite some time. We've been expecting it for well over a year. Now, GSA has done a good job of finally, you know, getting it out. And not only GSA, but other agencies that are involved, like DHS and et cetera, that the CIO Council that's, you know, pushing to mandate FedRAMP ultimately. We've been intimately involved with the GSA Infrastructure as a Service, BPA, and have built a system that's a public cloud at FISMA moderate levels, mm-hmm. which is really in tune to what FedRAMP's trying to achieve, which is build a standardized certification requirement that can be used agency-wide where an ATO or an authority to operate on a system can be transferred.
Mm-hmm.
And for an agency under FedRAMP, now that the FedRAMP document has been released and it's going to be enacted over 2012, I think it gives the agencies a good baseline to get started on building these systems that will be FISMA compliant, or DICAP, DOD might step in and do their own version, but mm-hmm. they can use that as a guideline to build these cloud systems.
When FedRAMP came out a couple of weeks ago, Jason wrote, Steve Van Roekel said FedRAMP will promote the do once, use many approach. Now, I have to confess I was a little skeptical when I heard that, because federal agencies have had this kind of pushed on them for many years in a number of different areas, not just in IT even, that, hey, we want everybody to do it the same way. We want to set a process up one time and have everybody use the same process, and it never really seems to work out. Do you see some reasons for optimism that in this particular space, this concept will work and agencies will buy into the do it once, a lot of different agencies the same way one time?
Yeah, I think it's more about setting standards and processes and procedures, especially around NIST 853, mm-hmm. And providing guidance to the agencies on how to implement and create these environments and secure them and build them to a compliance level that will meet rigorous standards. I don't think it's about trying to do the same thing the same way, agency to agency.
Okay. Go ahead.
I guess in addition to that, I do believe that at times things have been pushed on the agencies and it just doesn't work. I think the agencies are more open to, really, they're looking at it as a godsend that an agency like GSA or the CIO Council are coming out saying, these are the processes. These are rigorous standards. We're talking hundreds of processes and criteria that they're looking at inside FedRAMP mm-hmm. to make sure that when they get it right, or when they do it, they get it right the first time. I mm-hmm. think when you talk to Mike, David McClure or Van Roekel, that is their focus. Get it right. Make sure that the public, when you put a system on a cloud environment and it's going to be certified FedRAMP, mm-hmm. that it's very secure and the data integrity is kept intact.
Well, in the sense that I got from listening to Jason's conversation with Dave and Kathy was, we've done this work already, that you don't have to do it over again. And that's the, I think that pitch is the appealing part of it, is not that you, we're doing it this way, we're going to tell you what to do, but hey, we've already set this infrastructure up so that you can get what you need without having to start completely from scratch. And maybe it's just the way it's presented, or I don't know what, but it just, the way it is being presented seems to me to be potentially more appealing to the agencies this time around. Is that fair to say, do you think?
Yes, it's absolutely fair. And it's, and again, as a normal citizen, think about things like Google or Amazon or name it, Twitter. These are systems that are built. You can go to them. They have thousands and thousands of servers and infrastructure behind that. But you can, as a user, you can go to that immediately and deploy an application or whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. Just do a search.
Yeah,
it's the same concept. Build something that's secure, compliant, complex, that can deliver a service to the citizens or to the warfighter or to the agency or the general public, and have it ready built to where you can deploy it quickly. The problem in the past with government is things take too long.
Mm-hmm.
The procurement cycles are long. The contracting cycles are difficult. They had tried to change the laws over the years to make it more easily accessible, IT services more easily accessible. For example, when they went to the concept of buying commercial items, which we, Carpathia, work under, mm-hmm. delivering these services as a commercial item. Now we're going to be delivering broad services at a more significant level with a more high degree of compliance, with many more capabilities tied into them than just search or purchasing power or something that Google or Amazon could provide you.
As some of these services turn into commodities, and you're working with and in some cases against the Googles of the world and Amazons of the world, how do you demonstrate as a sales proposition a distinction, a value distinction in a commodity market where a lot of the competition, especially where we are budget-wise, is going to be price?
Carpathia really is a unique company. We fit inside of a niche market that is really not a commodity. I do believe, I've been in hosting for quite some time. There was a point where I believe the hosting market was becoming a commodity market. But with the wars, with the hacking that's going on globally, with the global economy expansion, et cetera, with all these very complex issues that are affecting IT, hosting has become enormously important, and we've been able to, Carpathia has been, have been able to build systems that differentiate us from others. And we do that simply around the security, the compliance, the meeting of FISMA and DICAP, the deployment of applications and services that meet HIPAA and PCI. That start, and we can do it and still maintain that true reason for doing it, which is being able to do it better, more quickly, more cost effectively, and it drives efficiency. So we're, you know, we're a very niche company in one sense. We've differentiated ourselves in the market, and there's truly only a handful of companies out there that have a 10-year track record of doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And we're carrying, for example, 25 active authorities operates across agencies, mm-hmm. DOD, Intel, and civilian.
So, so you're
going to continue to see that.
So you're providing, in some sense, you're providing a commodity as these services turn into a commodity, but it's a different commodity than what the average cloud provider is trying to sell, it sounds like.
Yeah, so not only that, if you listen to somebody like Steve Van Roekel, he considers a commodity, for example, let's say a system inside an agency that there might be 115 different varieties of the same system when you look at the multiple agencies under the major departments,
mm-hmm.
right? And he looks at that as a commodity. And what he's saying in Shared First and Future First, for example, is bring those commodity systems together and consolidate those. So it speaks to data center consolidation as well,
mm-hmm.
and IT cost cutting as well. All those things, they don't go you don't look at them separately. They go hand in hand. But take those commodity applications and services and consolidate them and unify them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the definition of what a commodity is, it's not necessarily just the infrastructure. It could be the application. It could be the program. It could be the agency. And what I think he's looking to do is, when it's a commodity, bring it together. That's going to be a differentiator, and you're going to drive efficiencies, cut costs, and you're going to get benefits that haven't been seen before.
All right. A couple more terms from Steve Van Roekel that I want to explore when we come back from the break. He mentioned one of the times that he spoke recently, a number of firsts, future first, share first, and some others. And we'll talk about those when we come back from the break. Michael Fox of Carpathia Government Solutions, my guest on Industry Chatter on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
It is one of our most sophisticated drones, and Iran claims that it was hijacked using a flaw in the GPS guidance system. They got the drone to think that it was in Afghanistan when it was actually still in Iran, and so the drone landed at its home base, thinking it was home base,
right.
But actually it was in Iran.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy?
For freedom.
Freedom of religion.
What America stands for.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy? For honor.
Everybody. And watch out for everybody.
Freedom to vote.
Democracy.
Freedom to go outside and play with my kids.
I join the Navy to serve my country.
Every freedom that we have.
The right to raise our kids in peace.
My little brother.
My wife. My kids.
Our children's children.
The United States Navy.
It's not for ourselves alone that we serve.
Previously on the Fed's telework panel discussion, sponsored by HP and Intel, Christina Morrison, government marketing manager at HP, discussed...
In the private sector, a lot of companies making the investment to arm their employees with the right technology and the right tools to work from anywhere. And that really helps extend a global reach in this environment. And with the 2010 Telework Act, we're waiting to see the federal government still step up and be where the private sector is.
Work is something you do, not somewhere you go. Learn about the future of telework in the federal government at fedstelework.com. Read more on telework resources and get connected with Feds Telework on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. If you missed the Feds Telework panel discussion on Federal News Radio, you can listen on demand at fedstelework.com on the issues directly affecting federal employees and the way they do business. Learn about the future of telework at fedstelework.com. fedstelework.com.
Hello, this is Peter Bergman. Please join the Salvation Army and Bergman's Cleaning for the 20th annual Share the Warmth Coats for Kids in the Needy Drive. If you have one or more cold weather coats that you can spare, please donate them for this worthy cause by calling Bergman's. Bergman's will refresh and clean and deliver them to the Salvation Army for distribution to the needy of the Washington metro area. Thanks to you, over 490,000 coats have been collected in the past 19 years. Please make this year's a success by calling Bergman's at 703-247-7600. Thank you.
Fighting for air. From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, I'm Ira Dreyfuss with HHS HealthBeat. About 24 million Americans have chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, or COPD, which can make it hard to breathe. Even grocery shopping can leave them struggling for air. People who don't realize they have COPD might think they're just growing old or they're out of shape. But COPD's causes are, notably, smoking and other things that irritate the lungs, such as living or working around dust or chemicals. At the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Letitia Presley-Cantrell.
If you are at risk for COPD and have a constant cough, excess mucus production, shortness of breath, or wheezing, you should be tested for the disease.
A simple test measures how much air you can blow out and how fast. Learn more at hhs.gov. HHS HealthBeat is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Ira Dreyfuss.
It's about smiles. It's about laughter. It's about going out and making a difference in the life of a child. You don't have to get mad. You just have to go mad. GoMad2011.com is a website dedicated to supporting the Make-A-Wish Foundation. At GoMad, our mission is simple, to go out and make a difference. So how can you help? Visit the Wish Wall on GoMad2011.com and make a contribution today. Or find out how you can donate with a simple text message. Do it now so that we can continue to touch the lives of children with life-threatening conditions by granting their wishes.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Michael Fox of Carpathia Government Solutions, my guest on Industry Chatter. And I mentioned before the break that while, and we actually were talking about ELC, both of us being down there, while we were at ELC this year, Michael, Stephen Van Roekel was in California talking about a number of firsts. And our Jason Miller writes among those, Share First, Future First, and some others. What impact are those concepts having on how you're doing business and how you're serving your customers in government and what they're coming to you for in the first place?
That's a great question, because if you think about what's happened over the last 2 years with Vivek Kundra's coming out with Cloud First, and then now Van Roekel has really taken it to a different level with Shared First and Future First. Yes, our approach to the agencies and working with the integrators and great partners that we have, our approach is changing somewhat. If you think about, again, going back to the commodities and consolidating or data center consolidation, that is taking small programs or small applications and services and unifying them to drive efficiencies. If you look at more of the future first, it's looking at larger programs that are like big ships trying to turn, breaking them up, making them more nimble so that the agencies can deploy the newer technologies more quickly, like social media, you know, large content media, video, those types of things, more quickly. Also, by breaking those programs up, government doesn't have the tie-in to where they're locked into long-term, super long-term agreements and aren't able to adapt and change and be flexible.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what Van Roekel has done only enhances what Vivek has done. And those cloud-first and future-first policies are more broad in scope, and they speak not just to the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
They speak to IT services. And if you talk to him directly, I think the biggest thing that he emphasizes in those programs is the government moving from a CapEx procurement model to an OpEx procurement model,
mm-hmm.
meaning quicker deployments, do it in 90 days, not 900 days, you know, being able to adjust if newer technologies come out, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. How does that impact the way that you plan and build and figure out what you want to do with the company and your strategy?
Well, I think we've watched what's happened on the enterprise side. And as we spoke about before, commercial companies adopt these technologies and these systems more readily. So Carpathia has done a great job in anticipating what's moving from commercial enterprise into government. And so we anticipated a lot of these changes that are coming down as we speak, like the DoD appropriations bill that requires looking at a commercial data center first.
Mm-hmm.
That's another first, I think. I think first is going to be the key word for 2012.
Okay.
Maybe. So our strategy isn't changing necessarily. What's changing is our approach, our marketing efforts, how we get the message out. Thank you again for having me on your show.
This happy to do it.
A way to get the message out. So I believe it's we've anticipated this for quite a long time. We've invested a lot of our time and effort in building public clouds and meeting these high levels of compliance across the board. So this is just a natural evolution for Carpathia, where I think some other companies have been caught, are being caught, not in the same position that we are. We are very well positioned for all of these first initiatives coming out.
You mentioned data center consolidation, and I want to hit on that when we come back. I didn't intend to come and talk about Steve Van Roekel for the whole hour, but
yeah.
He's so intertwined in all of the things that we are discussing, and he's writing about that on the White House blog, and so we'll talk about that in a minute, and some data center consolidation things going on at DoD that I want to ask you about.
Great.
When we continue on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. You're hearing Michael Fox. He's director at Carpathia Government Solutions, and we'll continue our conversation in a moment.
Federal News Radio is a proud partner of FEA, the Federal Employees Education and Assistance Fund. In the past 25 years, FEA has helped more than 21,000 federal families with over $18 million in aid. By donating just $1 per pay period, you can help federal families keep the lights on, clean up after a natural disaster, or send a kid to college. Keep your CFC dollars in the federal family and make your pledge to FEA 11185 today. Learn more at FEA.org. That's FEEA.org.
Government personnel must continue to achieve mission-critical objectives no matter their work environment. Video conferencing technologies provide a highly effective collaboration solution for federal employees affected by budget cuts, BRAC initiatives, and telework mandates if they are secure based on open standards and deployable in limited bandwidth environments. Polycom is the first video provider to have an ultimate HD portfolio that is JITC certified, offering real-time face-to-face communication without compromising secure networks or consuming excessive bandwidth. Polycom enables government customers to collaborate over voice and video anywhere, anytime, securely both inside and outside the firewall, offering high-definition video calls at half the bandwidth of other companies. To learn more, visit polycom.com/federal.
The Telework Center arms you with all the information you need to know about teleworking in the federal government. Go to federalnewsradio.com, keyword Polycom.
The Department of Defense faces some big changes in the coming years. I'm Federal News Radio's DoD reporter, Jared Serbu. We help you track those changes every Wednesday afternoon from 2 to 3 with On DoD. Each week, we'll talk one-on-one with defense experts and senior managers about the policies, programs, and innovations that affect warfighters and how the military will continue to meet its mission. That's On DoD, Wednesday afternoons at 2, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Did you know Federal News Radio can also be heard on 820 AM in Frederick, Maryland? Check it out the next time you head to Fort Detrick or the I-270 Technology Corridor. Tune in to Federal News Radio for the latest news and information about the federal government and the federal contracting world. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM or 820 AM in Frederick, Maryland. Federal News Radio, your source for federal news now.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest is Michael Fox. He's director of Carpathia Government Solutions. And we've been talking about data center consolidation and a number of things going on in that arena, Michael, in the last couple of days in particular. Steve Van Roekel writing on a blog post at the White House's website that agencies are planning to close 215 data centers this year, 525 by the end of 2012. The long-term goal was 800 by the year 2015. And according to the pace they're on now, he's looking at now almost 1,100 by 2015. That's about, if I recall correctly, that's about 40% of their entire data center inventory from a couple of years ago. What does that mean to the agencies other than you definitely have to get on board this train? Or is that the major thing that it really means to agencies? It's time to get going.
Well, one thing that drove that change, just so we're real clear, the definition of what a data center is changed.
Mm-hmm.
So the transition between Vivek and Steve Van Roekel, they redefined what a data center is. They brought it down from 500 square feet to 100 square feet, or one-fifth the size. So that naturally elevated the number of data centers that would need to be consolidated. The fact of the matter is, in data center consolidation, the reason it's so strong and so important is your infrastructure costs to run these complex compliant solutions government-wide. You could argue that the most significant cost is the data center. The infrastructure, the power, the devices, the investment in the data center, and then probably right behind that, the people,
mm-hmm.
right, or the software and the application. Mm-hmm. So inside the data center or the data center itself is a significant cost factor. So being able to consolidate that is going to naturally drive efficiencies.
During the break, speaking of the cost factor, I mentioned my colleague Jared Serbu has a story from last week where the discussion inside the Army about data centers is all the way at General Corelli's level, Vice Chief of Staff. And that's not normally where those kinds of conversations take place. And your response to that was, well, that's where the money is. So I imagine those kinds of conversations are happening at that level now of every agency. It's not just a CIO, CTO issue anymore, I guess.
Exactly. And when we're talking to agencies, it's not just about the money, but that we do try to follow the money. I mean, like any other commercial entity, where the money flows is where we want to be. The other thing is the focus on the mission. Think about it this way from a layman's term. If you're a citizen and you know your government agency is focused on winning the war,
mm-hmm.
not focused on running an IT system that's helping them win the war, that's what Carpathia does. Carpathia provides infrastructure and services that allow the agencies to focus on missions. So if you're looking at it from a general's level, he can take personnel and people and shift those personnel and people and their capabilities to mission-critical missions, in a sense, for the lack of a better term.
Mm-hmm.
They can do things that are going to deploy services to the general public or help the warfighter or help the agency, and not focus on the more mundane, costly things that a Carpathia focuses on, which is servers, compute, network, storage, backup, data integrity, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Back to DOD in particular when it comes to data center consolidation. We've seen a roller coaster ride almost, left to right, though, and not up and down over the last couple of weeks. I'm looking at some headlines and some story quotes from the end of November. Fierce Government IT had a headline, DISA first for data center consolidation, says Army and Air Force. Information Week wrote, as part of the data center consolidation effort, DOD CIO Terry Takei pushing a DISA first strategy in an effort to increase the Defense Information Systems Agency's footprint in data center consolidation. And then last week in November is about 3 weeks ago. So now we see the Defense Authorization Act that is passed through Congress, and Federal Computer Week reports just the other day, provisions in the NDAA for 2012 could hamper ongoing Defense Department efforts to consolidate data centers and move to a cloud-based enterprise email program hosted by DISA. Terry Takei have to provide comprehensive reporting on data center consolidation efforts, and DOD must migrate its data from government-administered cloud services such as DISA and go to private sector clouds. What does that do for you trying to help government customers navigate all of this when there is so much uncertainty about what's to be expected? I mean, is the Defense Authorization Act or is there still the possibility that the defense agencies are going to get pulled in another direction?
Well, I think the law is going to trump most of the mandates that have already come down.
Mm-hmm.
It's obviously a battle that's raging internally and inside of DOD, and I think there's two camps. What it does for Carpathia is I believe it validates the reason for our being. It validates that there are a large number of environments out there that should be moved to commercial and use best practices and use what the enterprise commercial markets have used for years, mm-hmm. and not be always behind the eight ball and being last to adopt. I think the more correct position is not either. I think it's yes, you should look at commercial for reasons that commercial makes sense. There are reasons DISA should go first,
mm-hmm.
but let's cut it through the chase and really simplify it. If everything's going to DISA, are they really focused on the really high-level mission-critical environments, or are they focused on everything, mm-hmm. and they're diverted, and they're losing their focus on, say, a lower-end solution because they have to focus on this higher end? What they do in some cases is go out and hire contractors.
Mm-hmm.
So, in effect, they're hiring commercial anyway. So why wouldn't you look at, let's just say, two-thirds of the environments and say, at least two-thirds of the environment should go commercial,
mm-hmm.
and use the best practices, deploy more quickly, cut cost, get out to market in new areas that you've never been in. For example, government agencies getting into collaboration and social media and reaching a broader audience. And then take those ones where DISA is more adept and has higher capabilities than a commercial entity just by the nature of what they do, and let them focus on that.
Mm-hmm.
The fact of the matter is every single unit cost of something you purchase from DISA or an agency purchased from DISA is more expensive than if you go out to the unit cost commercially,
mm-hmm.
period. So just the financial factor alone should drive a significant portion of the environments that the agencies are using, either forklift them to commercial or any of the new ones come out, they should look at commercial first if it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the message is closer to commercial first, and I was very pleased to see that come out, especially for Carpathia. But I really think, you know, where it's going to settle in is something in between, but closer to the commercial first all the time.
So there's room for some subjectivity in determining which different applications and which types of data go which direction. It sounds like that's what you're saying.
Yes, and you know, being a Washington native, there's definitely some politics involved. And
you think?
That never happens. In fairness, having worked across civilian, DOD, and Intel, there's things we just don't know, mm-hmm. and those are things that should never be brought out to commercial and public.
Mm-hmm.
So at least not until they release them 50 years later.
Right. That's right.
The vast majority of the broad uses of applications government-wide, the commercial entities, you could help the economy, you could drive jobs, you could get the government could help us get out of this global downturn by doing things like this.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a broader message.
Michael Fox is my guest. He's director of Carpathia Government Solutions, and we'll wrap up our conversation on industry chatter today in just a minute on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Ravens fans, 1500 AM Federal News Radio is your D.C. home for Ravens football. Listen to every game as the Ravens march toward the Super Bowl.
Going deep, far sideline, end zone, caught, touchdown, Anquan Boldin. Throws, he's got Rice, 5-yard line, turns the corner, in, touchdown, Ravens.
Catch all the action as the Ravens take on the Cleveland Browns, Saturday, December 24th. The pregame starts at 12:30 on 1500 AM.
Diary entry, August 15th. My joints ache. Today I can hardly move. I need some answers.
September 3rd. I'm tired all the time. What's going on?
June 8th. I woke up with a rash on my face. I want to know why.
For answers, ask your doctor the right question. Could I have lupus? For answers, for support, for hope, visit couldihavelupus.gov or call 1-800-994-9662. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office on Women's Health and the Ad Council.
To win and deliver government contracts successfully, you need to align with the right teaming partners. Meet Tech Systems. While often behind the scenes, Tech Systems has worked with government agencies and systems integrators for over 25 years. In fact, every year, they deploy over 70,000 IT professionals at over 5,500 client sites nationwide, including more than 65 government agencies. Tech Systems is active across a broad spectrum of government programs and has developed deep relationships to understand what works well and who does it best. Thinking about cybersecurity, working on a cloud computing initiative. Tech Systems addresses critical program gaps related to people, projects, and work functions. Their delivery models scale from staff augmentation to IT project and outsourcing services to support transition, ramp-up, surge, and ongoing program support needs. Learn more at TechSystems.com. TechSystems.com.
Since 1886, the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Washington, D.C. has been helping children in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. Now they are visited by over 3,000 children every day. The club teaches character and leadership development and arts education. No child is turned away for being unable to pay the $25 fee, and the club needs your help to make this happen. Give a gift online at bgcgw.org. The life you lift up today will be the life that brings a better world tomorrow. This message is brought to you by GEICO and Federal News Radio.
Congratulations on landing the job. I'm really excited for you.
Thanks. How's your search going?
Job market's tight. I mean, I can barely get an interview. Yeah. And I've got student loans to deal with. You're lucky, you know. The National Guard paid your loans off.
Luck? The Guard was a smart decision, one you can still make.
The National Guard Student Loan Repayment Program can pay up to $50,000 of your existing student loans. Get the details at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the D.C. National Guard, aired by the Maryland, D.C., Delaware Broadcasters Association, and this station.
Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Michael Fox of Carpathia Government Solutions, my guest for the hour. Just a couple of minutes left. Thanks for coming in today. I've really enjoyed our conversation.
Thank you.
If we sit down and have the same kind of conversation, say a year or 2 years from now, where do you think agencies will be as far as making progress on some of the things we've talked about today, Future First and Share First and the 25-point plan and all those kinds of things? Or is it possible that either with a shift in this administration or with a potentially new administration, that a fair amount of this might be out the window and we'd be on a totally different track.
I think what's held up the adoption and the rapid expansion of cloud and IT services, the innovative IT services in the market or in the agencies, is not really the services themselves or the idea of deploying these services. That's going to happen. Mm-hmm. It's been more around the money and the procurement and the budget crisis. If the money's there and they can deploy these programs, I think it's been more political and more budget focused. Mm-hmm. So as the money's released and they allow these agencies to deploy more quickly, these first strategies, the data center consolidation efforts and the future first and shared first initiatives are going to take off. I think 2012 is a tipping point if the U.S. government wants it to be. If Congress can get their act together and really, you know, do what we do at Carpathia, which is deliver. They need to deliver to the general public, and that's what we do.
We only have about a minute left. You mentioned Congress getting its act together. What's the impact that Congress has had on the way that you interact with the agencies and on the way that they get things done?
We've run at an unprecedented level of continuing resolutions over the last 2 or 3 years. It has hindered agencies' abilities to deploy new programs, and it's hindered their ability to really review and correct and advance programs that might be underperforming or need help.
Mm-hmm.
So if this was a business, if it was the enterprise, if the government was an enterprise, they all would have lost their jobs because they wouldn't have been able to pay their employees.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if government gets their act together as far as stop putting so much politics in the where the money's going or how much is flowing, et cetera, it's going to allow the agencies to know where their budget is and really, really nail down how they want to implement these new technologies like cloud services in the bigger picture of IT management across broadly across the agency.